You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey, you're listening to A Face for Radio on CITR. Hey, you're listening to A Face for Radio on CITR. Alright, a couple more. Hey, you're listening to A Face for Radio on CITR. Wait, should I do one more that's more varied? Hey, you're listening to A Face for Radio on CITR. Hey, you're listening... Oh, wait, ready?
Yeah.
Hey, you're... Okay. Alright, I'm gonna start in 3, 2, 1. Hey, you're listening to A Face for Radio on CITR.
After 9 weeks of live performances, Shindig, CITR's annual Battle of the Bands, is moving into semifinals. Come out to Shindig January 10th to see Devours, Mark Mills, and Prison Hair, the 17th to see Carousel Scene, Jerk in the Can, and Pavel, and the 24th to see Jock Tears, Tiny Sprout, and Mirepoix. The semifinals are every Tuesday of January at Pat's Pub. As always, there will be an opportunity to win beverages for jokes or fun facts. Shindig is sponsored by AMS Events, Backline Musician Services, Canadian Music Week, Discorder Magazine, Fader Master Studios, Rain City Recorders, Mint Records, Music Waste Festival, Nimbus Recording, Thunderbird Radio Hell, Six Cent Press, Silver Fox Postering, Band Merch Canada, Blue Light Studios, Zulu Records, Four Winds Brewery, Fernie Brewing, and Print Print. All three shows will be amazing, and you'll want to be there to see which of these three local artists will move into the final round.
You are listening to A Face for Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Eric Coates. We are broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here on the UBC campus of, in Vancouver's UBC camp. UBC campus in Vancouver. Oh, man. Okay. Whew. How are you? Happy, welcome, good Thursday. The rain is back. Unfortunately, in my opinion, I quite enjoy I prefer the cold to the rain and the slightly warmer weather. Anyways. I guess now is a good enough time as any to tell you the show will be running its course, ending for good on February 2nd. So in 2 weeks, this is my second last show, and somehow it still sounds like it's my first. But yes, that is the plan. The show will end on February 2nd, and... well, it's been a good run. I'm going to be moving, so I won't be able to continue the show. But what can you do? All right, let's get the show started here. We're going to kick it off with a new song by a band that I used to play a lot back in the day. When I first started doing fill-ins and doing a previous radio show. So that band's the Courtneys. They have a new album coming out called Two. This is the song Silver Velvet. All right. And wait for it. Enjoy.
Getting shady.
All right. Welcome back. This is A Face for Radio. I am your host, Eric Coates. We just listened to the song Eat to Win by the great Nardwuar's band, The Evaporators. And off of their new album, Ogo Pogo Punk. And I am... makes me happy. You might have heard a laugh. We'll get to that in a second. Before that, we listened to Time's a Blob by Pale Red off of their upcoming album, Soft Opening. And then we listened to The Courtneys with the song Silver Velvet off of their also upcoming album, too. And that laugh came courtesy of good friend of the show, one-time partial host.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For when I was extremely late. host of The Burrow. CITR's very own music director, Andy Resto. Welcome.
Amazing. Too bad we don't have a button for applause. Background applause. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's walking in, everybody. Yeah. Yes, welcome. It looked like you were going to say something when I was talking about the evaporators, but then I shushed you.
Yeah. Well, just commentary on the Ogo Pogo. The idea of like that's like a monster, like a fabled sea creature.
Yeah, in Lake Okanagan.
As last week on your show, you were talking about your great zine that you made. Your teen zine. And that reminds me, the Ogo Pogo, of this book I read as a kid. It's like, I think it's teen fiction.
Okay.
But see, when I was reading it, it seemed much more intense than that. So, like, yeah. I read there are a couple of these books. I forget the guy's name. I wish, like, maybe you could, like, kind of, it'll be hard to all find. Right. Because the names are very, like, nondescript, the titles of the books. But this guy,
it might be something like
Eric Larson. That's the name that, like, comes into my head.
All right, we are Googling Eric Larson.
He has a book called Locke.
Oh, not Errol Larson, Eric Larson.
Locke and Raptor is another one. And these books are, like, incredibly violent. Like,
okay, I don't think it's Eric Larson.
Okay, that's
fine. He has a state, the fundamentals of massive M-I-M-O.
No.
Wait, what is the book called?
Locke. It's just called, like, L-O-C-K.
Locke, and so, book.
And also he has one called Raptor.
Okay, hold on. We're gonna find it.
But why it's funny is just because as reading this as like an 11 or 12 year old, it seemed like so intense, and I was just into it for that reason. That literally this Loch Ness monster would like tear people apart, and he would like describe body parts floating around and stuff. But I think if I were to read it now, it'd be really simple, like kids fiction, but it's really bizarre that is his style, that he did that book, and then also Raptor, which is based in this cave, and there's this velociraptor that is like murdering people.
He was doing scary books, sort of like intense stuff.
So. Yeah, he also has one called Pygmalion, which then I would always get confused once I realized that was actually a famous play.
Yeah,
that's in high school reading list.
Oh, what's the movie?
There's a movie that does that. I don't remember.
It's an Audrey Hepburn movie.
But it would confuse me that was on like high school reading list, because I remember Pygmalion being this guy's book that was like half pig, half man, beast. So it's very bizarre. But that's what Ogo Pogo reminds me of.
All right. Awesome. I have a few thoughts about that. First off, I remember as a kid becoming invested in the Ogo Pogo when I was like 11 or 12. I didn't believe that it existed, but like I wanted it to exist, so I'd play it up. And I like had this whole thing that like the Ogo Pogo and the Loch Ness Monster were like secret lovers. Okay. And that they somehow met from Loch Ness and Lake Okanagan. But I was very into the Ogo Pogo.
Yeah.
But then that also made me think of Do you remember those books? They're kids' books that had little mice on the covers.
Redwall?
Yeah, that's what they're called.
I never really read Redwall. My brother's read that entire series.
Oh, really?
And so he would like tell me about them. So I know a lot about Redwall. I saw one of the movies.
They have a Redwall movie?
Well, it's like a cartoon. Not bad. Still. It's based on Mossflower, the book in the series called Mossflower.
Okay, just before we go there, I think it's Raptor by Paul Zindel.
Paul Zindel, that's it.
Zach's father is a paleontologist, so Zach knows all about dinosaurs, but he never expected to come face to face with a real live raptor. Zach and his friend Utah find Utah. Zach and his friend Utah find themselves in great danger when they discover a baby raptor and its mother. Yeah. All right. This is also pretty funny. I can only see the beginning of this review on Good Books for Raptor by Paul Zindel, and it says, "While the book might have had some potential, the only thing I got out of it after reading the book was that the raptors were repulsive, over-violent creatures." That's your critique?
That's good. Come on, sounds man. Good.
Yeah, what do you want from the book? Oh, yeah, the pig man. And the pig man's legacy. He has multiple books. He was a playwright, young adult novelist, and educator. Born in Totenville, New York, in 1936. Huh. He won a Pulitzer Prize for drama.
Wow, what that?
There you go, Paul Zindel. Zindel, maybe it's Zindel.
And he's an impactor. I still remember his books.
Exactly. His magnum opus, according to Wikipedia, is The Effect of Gamma Rays on the Man in the Moon Marigolds.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah, I just remember I had completely forgotten about Redwall. Like 100%. And until a few weeks ago when someone started talking about it. And I was like, wait, that was the one with the covers.
Brian Jacquez, yeah.
With the mice holding swords.
And not always mice. It's like they have like badgers and like.
Yeah, but the mice are the important part.
He focuses like on a lot of creatures. They're always based on a different. The story is based on a different character that could be a totally different animal. The mice, I think. I don't know.
All of the covers have mice on them.
No. Go look up. What is it called? Muriel or something. You can probably just get a series of the covers by looking at Redwall, but
yeah.
Anyway, it's an in-depth series, adventure series.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. Yeah, like young adult fiction is a weird. It's a really weird genre.
Yeah.
Like, I remember. Well, this is more of a kid's book. I read when I was like 8. I think it was called Time Cat. It was a book about this cat that has 9 lives and it goes back in time. Huh. It was great. I thought that book was super intense.
Mm-hmm. Well, my commentary on young adult fiction is like, and especially now, like, no, maybe not especially now, but now that all of these series are being made into movies, they really play up certain aspects of it. Looks intense, Time Cat. And it's these young people that are like need to be like struggling with their bodies. Like in these movies, like it isn't just like a little bit of conflict. It's like complete and utter deprivation and like despair and impossible living situations. When you end up looking at these movies, like things like The Hunger Games or what's the other one that's a copy of that? Divergent. And even like Twilight to a certain extent and everything. It's like this, like, for some reason we're supposed to be drawn to this. And it's always like a government imposition that is honestly just trying to like murder people. Like your life doesn't
exist.
That's
what parents do, man.
Well, I don't know if that's the motivation, but that's what's weird is because like they're then it's kind of started as young fiction, but they're kind of trying to curtail it to like this mass audience. And yeah. that's supposed to draw people in, that idea. And then this idea of like building a team and that like you have a team of people that like are together in this, but you are like unique. The idea is being unique and like subverting something. But it's so weird because it's done in this complete mass medium, which is actually the complete opposite. Like this thinking of writing a story in that way, in that kind of structure, in like really basic way, is anti-subversion. That's what everybody wants. Everyone wants some sort of like really like clear cut conflict. Like there is no,
yeah.
there's no discussion between good and evil in those books. It's just like, you know yeah. what it is and there's no discussion around it. And it's like, there's such clear heroines or heroes and you know what they need to do. Everyone needs to find love. Everyone needs to find companionship. And there are like very clear villains who just want to oppress.
Yeah.
And it's always this idea of like, you can overcome any problems by just, you know, being yourself. But then just the whole method of making the stories is reverting that.
Yeah, but do you think that's all of those examples were like pretty recent ones?
That's like what I mean. So I don't know Twilight. If it's now or like whatever.
Yeah, because I don't know. But if I think the, Harry Potter's
like
books.
That. I think Harry Potter's like that though.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
Complete utter deprivation. His life is the worst thing you could ever possibly imagine. He's just people are trying to murder him. His
yeah,
entire
since
life.
He's like 6 years
since
old.
Since he's a child.
Well, actually, since he's a baby, they yeah. tried to kill him. That's why he has the scar.
And he's always has massive migraines. Everyone kind of hates him other than his two friends because he's always causing problems. He's causing people to die and people to suffer around yeah. him. He has to deal with that himself.
Yeah,
that
that's,
he's
that's
the cause
the, that's
of suffering.
That's the issue being the chosen everybody. One.
And that's the other thing is like, who is this appealing to? That like, it's then trying to like make you think that
you
like you're the chosen one or something.
Yeah.
And like, and it's just, but that's not a healthy way of thinking.
Well, I don't know. It's just that there's magic in the world. Just like, do you not like Harry Potter, Andy?
I'm fine with Harry Potter. I think like it's taken way too like it's given way too much credit. Like what I mean by that is I read they all the first five like came out really quick in succession or like we're all out.
Yeah.
In a chunk. I read all those while I was in second grade. So this is within like a 12-month span. Yeah. And I read all five of those books. Second grade. That means I'm like 8.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the level that's okay for these books. When the final one came out, I was in like 9th grade or something, 10th grade.
Yeah.
I still have never read that book because I'm just not interested. It doesn't like interest me or I don't feel like I need to spend time on other things than that. And I think it's unfortunate that people get too sucked into that kind of stuff. It's fine, but I know some people who are, like, obsessed to the point of, like, actually thinking they're good with, like, Marvel movies and old Disney movies and this sense of, like, nostalgia for those movies that I think it's limiting what it is they're actually able to do intellectually.
And yeah, but that's part of, like,
damaging to, like,
a larger infantilization of the yeah. culture and, like, people. Now, I have a similar thought, not about Harry Potter, but about animation movies, that now you have as many, if not more, adults going by themselves to watch yeah. children's movies than yeah. children.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be a bad thing, but it definitely, like, there is a consistent, has been a consistent cultural shift away from or towards an infantilization of this, like, forever being anywhere between 8 and 13 years old, and thus you don't, like, shirking all responsibility of adulthood.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just nostalgia where you're like, oh, those were the good times, because you can have nostalgia when you're, like, 80 for when you were 65, you know? or you can have nostalgia
but
for
that's like
for a period.
That's the other end of the spectrum. It's like when you're a kid, it's fine. When you're like really old, it's fine. But we're worried.
No, or
about
when you're
like
40,
to...
you can have nostalgia about it's like midlife crisis. Is you're like nostalgic about when you were 25 and you could party.
But see, I think
things.
That's always a problem.
Yeah, but here's the thing: is now it's you're stunted in this one age, where it's like pre-political, pre-social, really on like a large level. It's before you're. It's not even like, okay, let's all revert to childlike wonder and innocence and try and live that.
It's this idea
of like this time of no responsibility. Yet, like, what we need to be is more and more responsible.
Yeah.
And, like, kids are actually, like, in their own world, responsible. It's not like they're devoid of that notion. You know, like, it's been part what all those books are about. Is like, the kids want to do the good stuff.
Yeah, and I guess, like, not even, like, taking negative, like, oh, people are just, like, people are so stupid, blah, blah, blah. But, like, as in it's... It's frustrating to me. The reason I get frustrated when thinking about this is because I have, like, too much of a belief in humanity, and it's disappointing to see those kind of movements because I think that the problem with, like, nostalgia or having this, like, infantilization, like you said, is that, like, you know, it's not that you may not have been, like, happy or something, but it's, like, you're now, like, denying the person you are right now. And why that might be important, for what you're doing now. You know, it's like it's taking away credit from yourself. And I think in a larger sense, I don't know if we deserve credit for anything. That's a different question, though. But like this idea is, I think that's the problem with nostalgia. It's like looking back on something. Like, why does it? I wouldn't want to go back to something because then I'm not the person that I am now. But the reason I can even think that is because of like. Who I am now.
Yeah, I also think of it as a larger social issue. Not that I think that, like, you know, the people in Hollywood are making these movies to try and infantilize us so that they can, like, achieve their whims. I think that, like, this mass media and cultural production geared towards the infantilization or that, like, appeals to this notion that basically is giving out media for adults who want to be kids, pretty much, is a larger sign of our, like, political disassociation and, like, movement away from citizenship and also, like, a disengagement with Not necessarily higher culture, but just, you know, like a disengagement with learning or growth. It's just it prohibits society from moving forward or from any, like, concrete engagement through the arts or entertainment, through this, like, social action, going to the movies or this and that. Like, it does not require anything from you, and it is full out the deadening of society.
Yeah.
Anyways, Time Cat by Lloyd Alexander. This is the description. Gareth's definitely no ordinary cat. For one thing, he can talk. For another, he's got the power to travel through time. And the instant he tells this to Jason, the two of them are in ancient Egypt. On the first of 9 amazing adventures that Jason will never forget.
Do they die at the end of each one? 9 adventures?
I don't think
that... Do they perish every time?
No. It's not that dark, Andy. This is so funny. I didn't read the question, and I just see this response from Holly. Please do not post what are obviously homework questions on here. Read the book as you are supposed to. hard shade.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Do you have anything to say? About the topic?
Well, that final last words. Thing was interesting. Puts an interesting thing that I was going to eventually get to is this idea of like, because that's obviously a teacher telling your kids not to put homework questions on some website.
You think?
I think.
Let's see who Holly is.
That what you were talking about is a generally dehumanizing with the advent of things like social media and the rapid pace of technology, not in the sense that the typical sense. People think that social media is dehumanizing and that, like, oh, we only text and we don't see each other anymore. I don't think that is a big deal. What the problem is that this rapid progression, really progression just for progression's sake, there's nothing else behind it. It's just like, yeah, oh, we can do that. And then it just, like, keeps going. Is that I think generation gaps are getting a lot smaller. So generations are smaller because everything, there's so much. And it's a paradox kind of because there's so many particularities of like trends, meaningless trends that then define somebody's two years when you're like 11 and 12 is so much such a big deal versus like 2 years for us or something or 2 years for when you're 45. So like that little 2 year trend, which means nothing on a large scale and it's going to be erased, to them actually defined the way that their whole adolescence was shaped.
Yeah.
And then the people who came right behind them are going to have something else. And there's a disconnect.
Very different. Yeah.
And I think already for us looking back on a generation, it's a little bit of a bigger gap, but it's still pretty quick. Like we can already look back and see people who are growing up in like high school now, and there's a generation difference, and that's pretty small. But like I think
under
we can,
10 years.
Yeah, because like we were right on the edge of like going to school without like iPads.
Yeah,
but now there's like this whole, and that's what that comment online, like everyone just uses the internet now or whatever. But like, which we were like very close to that, but it wasn't quite happening. And now that the dehumanizing happens because now people get sucked into these trends in social media, and what technology aims for is pulling everything together. So every quote unquote advent is about like having everything do everything for you. It gives you everything you want. And that's what that you're just going to keep feeding that. And but then the opposite of that is that it seems like this whole subjective idea, but it's this actually totally objectifying and taking away any personal touch from anything. Mm-hmm. There's like zero subjectivity in anything. Plus, so zero subjectivity plus no connection with other people. So zero objectivity as well. And I think it's dehumanizing.
Yeah, I also think that an issue is that more and more you can get everything in one place.
Yeah.
Which leads to that issue because you put no effort into doing anything.
Yeah.
And if you don't put any effort into it, you get nothing out of it. So you just end up trying to engage with these trends or engage with other people or engage with yourself by just mindlessly doing activities.
Yeah.
Like through social media or through games on your phone or through or just reading stuff on the internet. Yeah. Like, you can do anything from one place. Yeah. And that, but none of that has any meaning. It's not like you're going on Wikipedia all of a sudden because it's like, okay, I'm really interested in reading about this person. I mean, sometimes you're doing that and that's good. But a lot of the time it's just like the action in and of itself has it just becomes an action. It has no more meaning. You aren't getting anything from it. Do you remember anything that you've done?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, these are the kinds of interesting, meaningful, and important conversations that A Face for Radio has been giving you since we started many moons ago. Thank you, Andy, for coming on the show.
No problem.
Do you have any final words?
Not really.
Okay. Well, on that beautiful note, we're gonna play a song by The Boss, because I've been listening to a lot of Bruce Springsteen lately. Andy does not like Bruce Springsteen, even though he's tried, which is similar to my mom, who's listening to the show. She has tried to like Bruce, but does not like Bruce.
Too many horns.
The horns make the song. This song, okay, this song, when the sax comes in, that's the best part of the song. Anyways, I've been listening to Bruce a lot, and this is a guy. This is a human. This is someone who experiences life.
He's actualized.
Life. He is actualized. He is self-actualized. And right now, that's what the song's all about. He's going to Prove It All Night. That's the song, Prove It All Night by Bruce Springsteen off of his amazing album, Darkness on the Edge of Town. All right. Enjoy.
Eu pensei que ia indo caminhando, mas não foi. Para um sonho diferente que se realiza e reproduz. E pensando, fui seguindo no caminho estreito, cheio de toco.
Esqueci de lembrar de pensar que todo penso é torto. Esqueci de lembrar de pensar que todo penso é torto. Já estou ficando embaraçado, vendo o lado todo errado. Vou acabar ficando louco, ou por outra ficando moco. Ou então vou aceitar tudo do jeito que está. Ou então vou aceitar tudo do jeito que está. Só não morro sem dinheiro, não quero ficar pra trás. No dia que eu penetrar do outro lado da vida, eu não volto mais. Aqui no Rio de Janeiro, levo a vida um cruzeiro. Sou amigo nessa hora da sola do meu sapato. Estou pregado neste mundo como se fosse um carrapato. Sou a morte no buraco, não tem distrato nem substrato. Venho solo, venho colo, só não quero ganhar cruz da escravidão. Do outro lado de tudo, a matemática do absurdo. Não me troco por ninguém, tenho honestidade, não sou cabeçudo. Tenho a meia, tenho a sede, melhor a alegria. Cresci sem nada e sem conhecer, com muito trabalho aprendi a ler. Não conheci o meu avô, nem o que foi, nem onde andou. Só sei que a vida ou o mundo foi quem me desafiou. Só sei que a vida ou o mundo foi quem me desafiou. Aí eu pensei que ia indo, caminhando, mas não fui. Para um sonho diferente que se realiza e reproduz. E pensando fui seguindo num caminho estreito, cheio de toco. Esqueci de lembrar de pensar que todo penso é torto. Esqueci de lembrar de pensar que todo penso é torto. Já estou ficando embaraçado, vendo o lado todo errado. Vou acabar ficando louco, ou por outra ficando moco. Ou então vou aceitar tudo do jeito que está. Ou então vou aceitar tudo. Ou então vou aceitar tudo. Ou então vou aceitar tudo do jeito que está. Do jeito que está. Do jeito que está.
Had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of
Whistler?
Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar BC. Zipcar. Wheels when you want them.
Oh, man.
What? What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
All right. Sorry, that was louder than I expected it to be. We are... Yes, we are back. The show is A Face for Radio. I'm your host, Eric Coates. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. We just listened to the song Aceito Tudo by Brazilian musician G. Melo off of his 1975 self-titled album. Really great soul album. And before that, we listened to The Boss with Prove It All Night. Mr. Bruce Springsteen, the album Darkness on the Edge of Town, which I don't know if that album is better than Born to Run, but they're both amazing. And thank you to Andy Resto for coming on the show, for hanging out, for chatting, and, you know, really kicking up the energy of the show. The reason I played that sports ad was because me and Andy have wanted to for a while and have not yet had the chance to do commentary for the UBC basketball games, I think I would do play-by-play and he would do color. Still one of my dreams to one day do the commentary for some b-ball. Anyway, unfortunately won't have enough time to play all the songs that I had planned, but maybe I'll play it not next week, but the week after. I wanted to play William Onyeabor because he just passed away. So rest in peace, William Onyeabor. Very interesting story, but also great musician. He's a Nigerian musician who really did his own thing. And you can check out his music. Luwaka Bop has done multiple releases, I think, of his music here in North America that you can easily get. All right, we're going to end the show now with the song Nice. Well, with two songs. And the first song is called Nice by the band Kleenex, also later known, I believe, as Lilliput. They were a Swiss punk band from Zurich, which is cool because I often think, like, what music comes out of Switzerland, you know? Or just cultural things that come out of Switzerland and you don't really hear about a lot. But this band is very cool. Did not know about them till recently. And listening to this song, it reminded me of a song by a French new wave punk band called Stinky Toys, which we're going to play after. And so we're going to play Kleenex with the song Nice off their self-titled album. And then Stinky Toys with the song For You off of their self-titled album as well. And that'll be it for the show. Up next is Rocket from Russia. I hope you enjoy. We won't be here next week because of Student Special Hour. We are being preempted. But we will be here the week after that for our final show. We'll have more friends of the show coming in to say what's up, to say goodbye. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day and weekend, because, you know, nowadays the weekend starts on Thursday. All right, this is the band Kleenex with Nice, followed by For You by Stinky Toys. Enjoy. Oh, was du sagst.